Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to the show. I'm Scott.
And I am Ben.
And we're back today with the second part of what was intended to be a one-part episode mm-hmm. that would cover not only the Honda Civic Type R and SI cars, mm-hmm. Did I kind of mess that up? Then I guess maybe the title should have been backwards, right? Because we actually covered the SI cars first, now we're going to catch up with some Type R news and information mm-hmm. because our North American audience doesn't know a whole lot about the Type R unless they're, you know, happen to be fans of that type of car.
Right.
Because we just simply don't get the Type R cars here in the United States.
No,
all of North America, really.
Yeah. So Canadians also understand the pain here. But, you know, Scott, I think it was a smart move for us to do this episode as a two-parter because we were able to look at the SI in a little bit more depth than we would have ordinarily.
Sure.
And that's an important thing to do. That's actually what we were asked to do by our listener request.
Yeah, that was Tim K who asked for the SI vehicles. And, it just kind of got out of hand for me there. You know, we started going through the SI stuff and there was a lot of interesting material. At least I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
And, we can jump right into Type R if you'd like. We can do that.
Sure.
There's a lot of, stuff that we have to hit in today's episode. Mm-hmm. So let's think about this as we go along here. We should probably describe Type R cars.
In general,
I guess, because there's been, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, versions of Type R cars that we have not been privy to here in,
right,
in North
yeah.
America, but the European market and the Japanese markets have been.
For sure.
So elsewhere in the world.
Yeah.
There's also the reasons why it hasn't come to America up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Will it come to America? Will it come to North America? Latest reviews of the car.
Right.
Kind of the specs and figures of the thing and what makes it unique, what makes it different from the SI line.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's just a lot. People are now driving this car, so you know, people have gone over to Europe or Asia and have made test drives of this vehicle and been able to review it and pass that along to us. And of course, we give access to that here in North America, of course.
We do still have access to Google, unless there's a Google Type R that we don't know about.
which in a way is a little frustrating because then we get to hear all the great stuff that we're not able to get yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, man.
Well, let's start here with Type R. So. Type R is a designation, right? It's not a specific vehicle. As you said, Honda Type R models, when they first came out, the design was focused on racing. So the same stuff like maximizing power to weight ratio, race tuning and better suspension. And Honda was initially just thinking these things would be on racetracks, but given the success of VTEC, which we mentioned in our previous part of this series, these Type R vehicles, the audience eventually widened to become race cars for the road, right?
Yeah.
Those four types that we talked about, none of which are available in the U.S. right now, are the NSX, Integra, Accord, and Civic, all Type R. Oh, and Accord has a Euro R as well.
A Euro R?
Yeah, a Euro R.
Oh, you know what? I did read about that one. Hang on just 1 second. I'll find my notes here. But the Euro R is was from 2002 to 2008. And it was built strictly for the Japanese domestic market. That's mm-hmm. JDM. If you look it up, you can search JDM market or JDM rather.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's one of those redundant things that I'm going to do often. If I say JDM market, it's like saying VIN number
or ATM machine.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So there's a few places where I'm sure that I'll run across that. Sorry about that, but it happens.
So what in general would you say is one of the defining features of a Type R version of any of these four versus the regular version?
High horsepower and torque versus the other versions. Now, the other versions we're talking about, even in comparison to the SI cars
mm-hmm.
that they come out with. So if there's a Civic SI model that comes out, you know, whether it's a hatchback or, you know, sedan or coupe or whatever, the Type R is going to take it to the next level with maybe instead of just, you know, those little tiny little increases that we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Those incremental horsepower increases.
Yeah, for the SI model over the previous models. This one jumps up like 100 horsepower.
Right.
I mean, it goes way up and above that. So, I don't know. To me, it's always the high horsepower, high torque that stands out. And of course, they have, you know, different interior treatments. They have different exterior treatments with a lot of aero kit type stuff that's functional. And that's important is that it's It's all functional.
It's not ornamental. It's like a spoiler and a hood vent for a reason. I'm talking about the NSXR specifically here, and you know, like hood vent, roof scoop, different weight, less or like weight losing moves.
Yeah. They do whatever they can to lessen the weight. Now, whether that includes not carrying a spare tire, you know, right. and the jack and all that stuff that goes along with it, and that's the kind of thing that you can get away with if you only expect this thing to be run on tracks or you know at like an autocross event or something similar.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, everyday use, it's a little bit impractical, but you could still probably get away with it. I mean, I know that a lot of people do drive Type R cars on, I guess you call it normal roads in Europe and in Asia. It happens. And it would happen here if we were to get the Type R cars here.
Ah, yes, which is going to be the question that we answer toward the end of this episode today, right?
Yes.
And it's something that a lot of people are probably wondering. Or who knows, some of you may be smacking your dashboard in frustration saying, I know why, get to it. Mm-hmm. Because the answer, once you hear it, is, I mean, it's a downer, but it's understandable.
And it's an on-again, off-again thing, as we've mentioned in the previous episode.
That's true.
And I think even in other episodes we've talked about this, that it's promised, then they say, no, maybe not. And then it's promised again, and then maybe not.
Right.
So it's back and forth.
Oh, one thing we could do to give a concrete example of some of the weight reduction we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So the normal NSX weighs, let's put it in metric for everybody. The normal NSX weighs 1350 kilograms, right?
Mm-hmm.
The NSXR drops more than 100 kilograms. It weighs 1,230 kilograms. But along with that, it has some stuff, like as you mentioned, Scott, that might be better on a racetrack than it is on a street. And one of those big ones is soundproofing.
Ah.
Because an NSXR is going to be kind of a noisy car. It's not going to have all the sound deadening.
Yeah, and which would be, by the way, fantastic to drive. I think that would be a blast. And, you know, I guess if that, you know, you're not really so concerned about creature comforts at that point.
Right.
When you buy a Type R versus when you buy a, you know what, that's a bad example because an SX is that's something you want to hear anyways.
Right.
Yeah. It's something you want to hear and feel. It's a mid-engine sports car. Fantastic to drive. I think we've talked about that over the years.
For sure.
Of course. Yeah. It's one of our favorites. And I occasionally, we'll still see one on the road, and every single time I crane my neck to see it as long as I possibly can,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, you know, going the opposite direction or if it's in traffic where I am, it still just holds some kind of fascination with me.
There's just such zip to those cars.
Yeah, man. It
They're
is.
Good cars.
I'd love to get one as a used vehicle, but even the early models, you know, the very first ones mm-hmm. are still in the ballpark of like $30,000 to $35,000 with high miles, and, you know, it still would be so much fun to get one, but man, that's impractical.
Well, one day maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe one day.
Maybe.
I mean, I think it's still not as impractical as buying a houseboat.
No. But you know what? The newest one, the Civic Type R that we're talking about, the 2015, it was, let's see, let's just kind of back this up just a bit here and I'll give you the vital stats, but it was announced or it was debuted, in March of 2015 at the Geneva Motor Show. And, Honda at that time was saying that it would remain exclusive to European buyers. Now that's, mm-hmm. strange because during the 2015 New York Auto Show, which was happening in late March, we're talking just the end of the month.
Right.
Right after it was debuted, when it was debuted, I guess, here in, or was mentioned, I guess, here in the United States, because I think they brought out the new Civic here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And not the Type R, but just the Civic. And Honda confirmed at that time that they would eventually bring the Civic Type R to North America. But no date was provided at that time. They didn't say, you know, it'll be coming in 2016, 2017, when it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a lot of speculation about when that will happen and why maybe it wouldn't happen. And do you want to get into that now or you want to go on to the vital stats?
Let's do some stats first and build up and save that one. So we know some stuff about the vehicle. It's the first Type R to ever have a turbocharger.
Mm-hmm.
It is powered by a 2.0 liter turbo VTEC four cylinder, and that gives about, what'd you get, Scott? 306?
306 horsepower, which is a full 100 horsepower more mm-hmm. than the, I guess you call it the standard Civic. So the, or maybe that's the Civic SI that I'm thinking of. It gets 205. I don't remember.
Yeah, SI.
SI. Okay. So SI gets, like 205. This gets 306. That's an enormous jump in horsepower. And this is a big number too. 295 pound feet of torque. And this is a relatively small vehicle. I know that the weight sounds high, but think about this. It's a big hatchback with everything that goes along with it, all the airbags, mm-hmm. all the safety, you know, the bars and the doors and everything. 3,047 pounds is what this thing weighs.
And wow. Now,
I know that does sound like a lot, but it's really not. When you look at the, mm-hmm. the weights of modern cars, that's pretty much in line with one of the lighter versions.
Sure, yeah.
Not a super light vehicle or anything like that, but it's definitely a driver's car. The transmission is a 6-speed manual only. You can't get an automatic transmission.
Uh-huh.
0 to 60 time, 5.7 seconds. I have seen somewhere 5.1 seconds. Now, I don't know if that was a misprint or something, but that's a pretty big difference.
That's huge.
This is almost 6 seconds. The other one is almost five. You know, close to five. So let's go with 5.7 because I think that's what Honda's
saying
now.
That's the one that I've seen in the official literature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I know the review you're talking about where it says 5.1 seconds, mm-hmm. But hope springs eternal, right?
That's true.
And I'm sure somebody can find a way to mod it to that.
Well, either way, the top speed is up there too.
Really high.
168
miles per hour.
Yeah, I got 167.
You got 167?
Yeah, from everywhere, 167. Now, that's, you know, that's, what do they say about pepper and flies? I mean, really, it's true. There's an old saying. You can look it up and figure out what that
pepper
is.
Pepper and flies?
Yeah.
I've never heard it.
Well, yeah. We better not say it on our show.
Okay.
All right. So, all right. It's also a front-wheel drive. Now, that is something that a lot of people will scratch their head and wonder why they went front-wheel drive with it instead of all-wheel drive with
it. Right.
And as we go through a review of this car later on, I'll tell you why front-wheel drive maybe isn't so bad in this car. I'll see what else can we say here. 2+3 seating. Supposedly you're able to get three people in the back end of that thing, but let's just say 2+2.
Yeah, let's be kind and say 2+2 because it's not a large backseat by any means. it does have some pretty cool adjustable dampers, the four mode stuff, mm-hmm. you know, like the plus R button on the left side of the instrument, so it puts you can put dampers on their firmest setting, tighten steering, sharpen throttle response. You can customize the drive while you're driving.
All right, and that's part of what I was going to get to in this review, because CarScoop.com has already done a drive of this, and they've done a video online of you know their person driving it, putting it through its paces. And I guess I can just skip right to this part of the notes of that anyways. And he says that high-speed cornering is possible in this front-wheel drive car, and here's how it works. As you mentioned, you know, it's all tunable, so you can adjust the dampers how you want them.
Yeah.
But that's also, thanks in part to a limited slip differential in the front axle that kind of locks the two front wheels together, provides power to both of the wheels instead of just having one primary drive wheel, the other one kind of following along.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely helps out. It's also something that we need to mention here, that high powered front wheel drive cars typically have trouble on the corners by putting the power down, and that's part of the reason. But you know, the front suspension is tuned to reduce torque steer, mm-hmm. So when you do accelerate that hard, I think I mentioned a long time ago that I drove an SRT4 that was the Caliber version.
Yes, you did.
And there was a ton of torque steer in that thing, so much so that when you're driving it, it felt a bit dangerous to accelerate really hard, even in a straight line. It would throw you into the next lane. It was that bad. So
wow.
this one apparently has the dampers adjusted from the factory right away that reduces that, and then you can further tune that as you want, as you mentioned, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's highly effective at keeping the torque steer out of the whole thing. So the overall feel is that, you know, it's really accurate through the corners, because it has, and a lot of people will groan when they hear this, but it does have electric power steering again, or electronic power steering
right.
again, but it's a new version of it, because I had that same power steering system in my car. And what it did was it effectively deadened the feeling of the steering wheel. It was not great. Mm-hmm. And my wife's Honda Element had the similar version. I think, you know, they're slightly, you know, different versions, tweaks made to the system
sure.
throughout the years. But this is a redo of the whole thing. And I wish I had the name of it in front of me right now. It's somewhere in this pile of notes in front of me. But
mm-hmm.
It is a reworked version of that. And apparently it gives you a lot more feel than the previous electric power steering did. But whatever version they've got in there now, they do say that it's,
it's a dual pinion, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's probably a dual pinion system, but there's a name for it that Honda has, and I don't know exactly what that is right now.
Okay.
But he did say that it was accurate and sharp and very quick. not exactly as much feedback as you'd like to get, but better than the previous versions.
Yeah, yeah. They also are issuing this with the option for a GT pack. If you are, again, not in North America, which will be the last time I mention that until we get to the answer. But, this just includes the extra bells and whistles, right? Front rear parking sensors, automatic headlamps, range sensing automatic wipers, which is not my favorite thing, folding door mirrors, satellite navigation.
You know what's funny? When I think of a GT model, I think of kind of like the sportier version, right? Because most automakers, that's their sportier version.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. And I know they have a lot of, you know, features in them too, but those almost sound like comfort features.
They really do, Scott. They really do.
So it seems like if you were to get a Type R GT, that would be like the top end. The way it sounds, it feels like that would be like the track car.
Right. Like that would have some more horsepower, some premium factory add-ons in terms of tires, braking, steering, suspension.
Yeah, you know, it might sit a little lower. It might have wider,
profile.
Wider, taller tires.
Sure.
It might have, you know, something different. But, to me, the Type R GT sounds like it's, it's a little cushier.
Yeah.
If you want to just get the kind of like the raw power, the base power, I guess, you would just go with the Type R.
Oh, and there's one other thing we should also talk about, which is the Type R's performance at a certain, perhaps obscure, racetrack.
Obscure?
I'm being sarcastic.
Everybody knows about this one.
Right. Oh, well, everybody should, because we did an episode on it. And first, it's time for a word from our sponsor.
Sounds good.
And we're back.
All right, Ben, we're talking about the Nürburgring, the green hell.
Yes, which we did an episode on earlier for anybody who hasn't heard it. What a story, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And this has been, yes, and it seems like every manufacturer recently has taken their sportiest model, you know, whatever it is in the line, or maybe even several of them, out to the Nürburgring and run a lap and of course, recorded the time for that lap. And then they can, you know, loudly boast to the rest of the world what their cars can do in comparison to other cars in that division or in that segment. So, this has come right down to, front-wheel drive cars, mm-hmm. of course, all-wheel drive cars. There's so many. I mean, of course, rear-wheel drive sports cars.
Production.
Pony cars. Else. You know, it just goes right all the way up to the ultra-exotic cars.
Right.
So it's every level of vehicle. And, of course, they took the Civic Type R, the 2015. I think they took a prototype to the track.
Yeah, it was in development still.
However, that is going to be the one that they are going to release as a Euro-spec vehicle. So this is truly the time that the Civic Type R prototype, or rather Civic Type R production vehicle, would get in on this track, I guess.
Well, okay.
That's a long way to say it, Ben.
Well, no, you got it.
It's the real vehicle there.
Yeah, you nailed it. So we've got, just before we get to the time of this, which is exciting, the record setter for the previous year was the Renault Megane RS 275 Trophy R. And that when I say record, I'm talking about current production front drive record.
Okay.
Because everything comes with, it's a Nürburgring. Everything comes with its own kind of category, right?
Sure, yeah. You have to qualify everything.
That's absolutely true. And that's the only way to be fair. Anyway, this Renault knocked it out in 7 minutes and 54 seconds.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Mm-hmm. So what's the current record then? If Honda has indeed shattered the record, as they say.
If Honda has indeed shattered the record, and I love that phrase, then their in-development Type R did the same lap in 7 minutes and 50.63 seconds. Now that might sound like just a little bit of a shave of time, but that's quite significant in this kind of race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That 3.5 seconds off of a single lap of the track. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big deal, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it shows us the performer. I would love to see video of that entire lap. I like watching the Nürburgring laps, you know, from many perspectives. You know, they usually show you the track map in the corner,
uh-huh.
and where they are on the track. It's a huge track. Then they show the driver's perspective, I guess, kind of over the shoulder. And then they typically will have one mounted, at the back end, one at the front end, really low.
Right.
Love those front end low shots. Also even the back end low shots are really cool. I like watching, for some reason, I love watching that rear view as the track passes you. Because, you know, the car's going one way, you're looking the other way.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it reminds me of like as a kid sitting in the back of that station
looking
wagon.
Out the rear view.
Yeah, you know, that's in my head, that's what I was seeing, you know, like yeah. I was seeing like a racetrack, you know, like it was so cool, but it was just, you know, the family station wagon.
They did do one significant change to this in development Type R, which is that they got rid of the AC and they added a roll cage.
No.
I don't know. I mean, the roll cage seems like a necessary thing to do.
Sure.
But I don't know how that may have affected the weight, if at all.
Well, they dumped the AC. They put in the – so it's an extra accessory that the belts didn't have to drive.
Right.
I would assume it's continuously driving that, even though it's not operating.
Sure.
Also, you know, I'm just guessing here. I'm winging this here. But yeah. They take a little bit of weight out there. They add quite a bit of weight to add the roll bar,
yeah.
or the roll cage, rather.
Sure.
So I don't know. I don't know how that would all stack up. But apparently it's a fair and legit thing that they did, so –
they're being a little bit vague about the tires.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you read that too?
Yeah, and I don't know why. I mean, why even cast a shadow of doubt on this thing? Why would you do that? You know,
be open, be transparent.
Well, just run them on the standard stock tires as you should, I guess. Unless that's kind of a known thing that manufacturers do.
Yeah.
You know, they can maybe put on a set of track tires instead of their standard street tires. But
right.
I don't know if the difference would be immense or if it would just be minuscule.
I'm just picturing the press conference, if there were a press conference, being so shady with someone saying, Mr. Spokesman, where did you get the tires? And they're like, the tires came from a major European tire manufacturer. We don't have time for any more questions.
And that's exactly what they said. I know you're making fun of it, but they said a major European manufacturer, and that's all they'll say.
Right.
And I know that, you know, what I said before, you know, where it probably doesn't make much difference. It can make a huge difference if you go dramatically different. But I'm guessing that this is within the same family of tires or something like that.
And also, you know, we don't know what sort of behind the scenes wheeling and dealing they might be doing, because this record, and if this car, it becomes as popular as it may well become already. The hype train has left the station. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If that happens, then it's a huge boon to whomever that manufacturer might be.
True. And there's one more possibility that we should talk about just before we move on past the tires thing is that there's a chance, you know, if this is a prototype vehicle that they brought there, there's a chance they don't really know what street tires they're going to use on this thing yet. And they could be trying out three or four different types of tires, and they just went with one of them, and like, well, we don't know if that's going to be the one, but here's what we used on the Nürburgring. That's a possibility as well. I don't know. Maybe we're reading too much into this.
Maybe we're consulting tea leaves at this point, right?
Probably doesn't matter, really.
Well, let's talk about something else, which is one of the bigger questions that's been on our mutual mind. Mm-hmm. What's the deal, man? Is this ever going to come out in the U.S.? If so, when? If not, why? And if so, how much?
Okay. I mentioned early on that, you know, it's kind of an on-again, off-again thing. It's always back and forth. Is it working? Is it going to be here? Is it not going to be here
right,
in the United States?
Right.
Now, the European market and the Japanese domestic market, they've already got it. They don't have to worry about any of this. But we have, here in America, we have never had a Civic Type R offered from Honda here in the United States. It's just something we haven't had. And not just Civic Type R. We've never had a Type R offered from Honda.
Yeah, no NSX, yeah. Nothing.
Nothing. And you would think, like, well, why not? I mean, of course there would be a small segment of people that would love it. You know, why not just bring, you know, one vehicle to every Honda dealership and let them sell that? And that'd be kind of their thing. Or, you know,
right.
Five to each one. And they would sell out. There's no doubt that they would sell every one of them. I don't have any question in my mind. The problem, it becomes a bigger numbers game than that, because the cost to bring it here to the United States would be immense.
How, on which end?
On Honda's development end.
Ah.
So here's the problem.
Okay.
All right. Now, and we can kind of throw around numbers a little looser here than, because we don't know exact price on this yet, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say that a Honda Civic, they're saying right around $30,000. Is that right?
A Honda Civic or Civic Type R?
Oh, a Honda Civic Type R. Now, I may be looking at pounds price, or is it euros at this point?
It'll be euros. Oh, well, if it's British, then it'll still be pounds.
Okay, so British pounds.
Okay.
I may be looking at a British pounds price, which I haven't converted yet, but 30,000 is roughly the ballpark I've seen. So what does that convert to in the United States here in North America?
I've been hearing, without doing the conversion, one-to-one, I've been hearing 50 grand, man.
Okay. All right.
So 50 grand, 50 to 58.
So let's,
people are guessing.
So here's the problem. All right. So even at that price,
Uh-huh.
And I don't even know if I should say even at this. We'll have to kind of, talk this over.
Okay.
Cause this is the only way it'll make sense. So let's say they sell the current, Honda Civic, let's say SI maybe, or even just a standard Civic at $30,000. They offer the Type R at, as we said, $50,000 or $58,000, something like that. That's a huge, huge jump up for that vehicle.
Sure.
Not a whole lot of people are going to buy a Honda Civic that costs nearly $60,000 or, you know, between $50,000 and $60,000.
Right, especially if the specs change due to varying regulations.
Yeah, that's a very small group of people that would be willing to put up that kind of money for that. But
hardcore
they would.
Fans.
There would be people that would do it.
Yeah.
Here's the bigger problem, the bigger overall problem. In order for a vehicle to be allowed into North America or any country for that matter, the manufacturer has to build it to that country's emissions and safety standards.
Yeah, here we go.
And,
yeah.
Okay, so the emissions and safety standards for Europe and Asia don't match exactly North America's emissions and safety standards.
Right.
So they have to create a vehicle that would either fit all three, or they can build the one that they already do that fits the two and then change a version that will come here to the United States. But here's the thing with that. The cost to develop that vehicle could be as high as $50 million.
Why?
To the company. Because it just costs it for research and development and testing and all the prototypes and the crash, you know, the vehicles they have to crash in order for it to pass the standards.
And the scales.
There's so much, and we're talking about body modifications. So you're going to have slightly different bumpers with different, you know, internal structures.
Mm-hmm.
All the emissions stuff. If that's completely different, then you've got a lot of, you know, just loosely say engine components that have to be changed. You know, the emission system. Just an incredible amount of things have to be different, only slightly, but different for the North American market, but that change could cost $50 million. And they're not just saying that that's just a number they're picking out of air. That is what Lotus had to pay, I believe, for the Lotus Elise to be allowed to be sold here in the North American market. And they paid it, but for them to do that for a Civic is really,
Yeah, just because a Civic, it seems making money in the Civic market depends on selling in terms of quantity.
Yeah, and are they going to sell enough Civic Type R's at that price point to justify them spending upfront $50 million just to bring it to North America to say that, you know, well, we finally brought a Type R to North America.
And again, that 50 grand number is just an estimate, a speculative one.
Yeah, it's loose. It's loose at this point. We'll find out more as the day arrives. And this is why there's a lot of speculation that there will be a North American spec Type R that will come here, but it will be slightly different from the European spec version and the Asian spec version, the Japanese, the JDM
right.
version. So when will that happen? It takes time.
Sure.
It's not like we're going to be able to get it in 2015 like the rest of the world, but we're going to get it in maybe 2016, 2017, or even as far as 2018, as a lot of people have put out there on the internet. There's rumors that it may be as late as 2018.
But the smart money is saying sometime it'll show up.
Yeah, the smart money is saying 2017 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a couple of years out still. That's how difficult this is. And this is for a major manufacturer like Honda just to simply change a few things to make it fit North American specs.
Right.
You wouldn't think it would take that long on a vehicle that's already in development, but maybe that's the problem, maybe that's the shift, is like it's already there. Now we've got to change it.
Well, especially because without reading the legislation and without getting too dry on it, I had kind of assumed for a long time that European regulations or emission regulations, stuff like that, would be more stringent than those in the U.S.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's the case.
It could just be a variation of we just don't do it that way here.
Right.
And, you know, and that's as simple as that. And there may be some of that bullheadedness in that, you know, sure, it's maybe it meets their standards, but maybe we just do things a little differently here and it has to be that way.
Right.
I don't know. I without really being behind the scenes and knowing exactly what's going on and the frustrations and the dead ends and the, just I'm sure there are people at Honda that are just banging their head against the wall trying to figure out how to get this thing here quicker.
And I'm sure there are a lot of regulatory agencies who, with now bureaucracy gets a bad name, and I'm going to be candid. This is just my opinion, but I think bureaucracies get a bad name because of stuff like this, man. Mm-hmm. Like if it is possible to adequately compare the performance, which I know it, come on, you know it is.
Yeah.
Then what other reason is there? I know the policies or the laws exist, for a reason. But shouldn't also the interpretation of those laws allow people to say, hey, if it's clean enough for what, for an EU country, right, which usually does have higher levels for, emissions and stuff like that. If it's clean enough for there, then surely it's clean enough for like Newark, New Jersey.
Well, you would think so. You would think that would be the way it is, but you're right. It just becomes this tangle of red tape and bureaucracy it's very difficult to get something like this to go through, and that's why they haven't done it. So, again, even though this thing is coming out right now over in Asia and Europe, we are still going to have to wait a couple of years in order for things to kind of sort themselves out here in the United States. A couple of years at least, I think. Maybe even three. I'm excited to see them. I really am.
Sure, yeah.
But I wonder who is going to be, you know, the first to go in there with their down payment or their check for the full thing and say, here's $60,000, one Type R, please.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a big purchase. And a lot of people, you know, it's easy to look at this thing and say, I want that. I really do want that. But then really think about that. We know what it is. We described it. But
right.
Are you willing to plunk down nearly, you know, between $50,000 and $60,000 for that vehicle? You could sign a petition, as a lot of people have, you know, in years past. They said,
right.
You know, here's a petition to, you know, to bring this to North America. But then how many people from that petition will translate over to actual sales? You know, so Honda's smart enough to know that, you know, we may get a petition that has a million signatures. How many of those are really potentially buyers, you know, that's going to pay off for our $50 million over the top investment, I guess, or I guess in addition to
our overhead,
to the R&D of this vehicle already, which is expensive to begin with. That's the problem. That's the whole crux of the thing right there is that initial, that emissions and safety standards stuff that has to happen.
So we've also seen a lot of speculation online with people saying stuff along the lines of, I'll tell you what's going to happen. The Civic Type R is going to come out in 2017 to the U.S. and North American market. It's going to weigh 150 pounds more. It's going to have 20 to 50 less horsepower, and it's going to be way too expensive.
And why wouldn't you just get the Subaru WRX that's already here, that's all-wheel drive, that has more horsepower. I think it has better feet. It's a different animal. Mm-hmm. And it's in that same group. It's in that it will be, you know.
That same kind of like hot hatch territory.
Yeah, they'll compete.
Yeah.
But, you know, one's going to cost significantly more than the other one. And I mean, is it worth it for somebody to pay that extra just to be able to say, I have the first? Or is it going to be something that, you know, they're brand loyal, you know, like I've always driven
Absolutely.
SI vehicles here in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, why not pick up a Type R if I can? And plus it's the first, you know, it's the first one you can get. How exciting is that?
Right. I think there are people who are going to be drawn into. As a matter of fact, I bet there are people who are listening to the show right now who already have some mod ideas, just waiting.
Probably to further the performance of the Type R.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I imagine
probably.
So.
Of course there are. There's going to be someone who takes one and just makes it, you know, crazy. You know, to be honest, there are people that take Honda's SI cars and mod them well above what we'll see with the Type R.
Exactly.
They already do that. It's just a matter of having that factory offered version here.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never had that before. And that becomes kind of like this forbidden fruit that we haven't been able to sample yet. But now, Ben, it's here.
Now more than ever.
Yeah, I'm getting excited now. Okay. This is really cool. I mean, it's pretty interesting to think that, you know, this is the first time ever, you know, from back in, when did they offer the NSX Type R? It was 1992, I think.
Yeah.
So that's a long time. And journalists here in North America have been saying, why can't we have it in North America? Well, this shows you why. But now hopefully we're going to get this one. Hopefully. If they don't do this on again, off again thing much longer and it sticks with, yes, we're going to do it. That's good news for all of us here, I think.
Yeah. So what do you think, guys? We have clearly been becoming increasingly irritated online window shoppers. You know, we can't buy one of these by virtue of living in North America, but we want to hear what you think about the Type R. Is the hype train deserved? You know, because I think that hype can kill a lot of things in the long run. Would you buy one if it came to the U.S. at the price points we're hearing? All right. So folks, let us know. We hope you enjoyed listening to this. You can also find everything that we have ever done on our website, carstuffshow.com. You can also check out, some news that doesn't make it on the air, with, Scott and I on Facebook and on Twitter, where we're CarStuffHSW. And, we've been getting all right at answering some of those Facebook stuff. Did I just jinx us?
No, that's all right. I've been trying to get on there a little more than I have in the past. I'm not a terribly social guy, I guess, as you can tell. Social media is not my thing.
Yeah, but, you're the guy who, one time said to, our coworker, Allison, we were talking about smartphones or something.
Yeah.
And then you said, I've never downloaded an app.
my big secret's out. I still haven't. I have never downloaded a single app. I'm a bit proud of it, but also, I don't know. It seems a little silly when
you remember Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David?
Yes.
You started to sound a little bit like Larry David at that part. Yeah. Where you're like, what do I need an app for?
Hey, Noel accuses me of being like Larry David all the time.
He does.
He really does. He truly does say that. So, I'll have to work on some things.
I guess just work on a TV series, man. This could be big for us. You know, Curb Your Enthusiasm isn't out anymore. So, all right. So while Scott and I go work on our television pitch, we'd like some help from you. Do you have reactions to the Civic Type R? Are you lucky enough to live in a place where you're going to be able to pick one up? I kind of want to hear about it, but I kind of resent you.
And I also think that, you know, it may become kind of passe there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can do it, it's like, well, we've had that for 15 years already.
Right.
It's not really a big thing.
You know what? Yeah, totally. But even more importantly, if you have a suggestion for a topic we should cover in the future, we'd love to hear about it. You can send us an email directly. We are
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.